It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
We do get a large number of referrals directly from healthcare providers, and that's a good thing to us because we really hope to become part of a team of professionals wrapping around the cancer patient to provide really holistic approaches to health and wellness. And our role as attorneys and on the non-medical side is to really remove the socioeconomic, legal, and financial barriers that are keeping cancer patients from really getting well.
Krista Gantz, client services attorney at the Legal Information Network for Cancer, or LINC, talks about how her agency eases the burden of cancer by providing assistance and referrals and legal services to cancer patients, survivors, and their families. And during this week's News You Can Use, we'll tell you why every claim in favor of repealing the estate tax is wrong. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 265, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. The federal estate tax is a levy on the intergenerational transfer of wealth. It provides an important check on the growing concentration of wealth in America, encourages charitable giving, and generates revenues from those most able to pay. Repealing this common-sense tax will increase inequality in America. It will hand a huge tax cut to the nation's wealthiest heirs. Yet, on April 16, the House voted in favor of a total repeal of the estate tax. There could not be a clearer-cut choice posed to Congress. The repeal of the estate tax will hand $269 billion to a handful of multimillion-dollar estates. Pretty much every claim made in support of repeal was inaccurate. Myth number one, repeal of the estate tax is not about the wealthy. In fact, estates worth less than $5.4 million for an individual and nearly $11 million for a married couple are exempt from paying any tax. This means 99.8% of estates are not affected by the tax. Myth number two, the estate tax is killing family farms. In fact, no family farm has ever been lost as a result of the estate tax. David K. Johnston won a Pulitzer Prize for exposing this fabrication in 2001, at a time when the estate tax was significantly more robust. Myth number three, a significant portion of farmers and small businesses pay the estate tax. In fact, of the millions of small businesses and family farms in America, only 20 paid any estate tax in 2013, according to the Tax Policy Center. If large farms are included, the number is still only 120 estates, the average net worth of which is over $20 million. And protections exist for farms and small businesses that do owe estate tax. Myth number four, the estate tax disproportionately hurts people of color. In fact, a recent study by the Pew Research Center shows that the net worth of white households is 13 times more than African-American households. Myth number five, the estate tax is a double tax. In fact, on average, 55% of the value of estates worth more than $100 million is made up of unrealized capital gains that have never faced income or capital gains tax, according to Federal Reserve Board data. For estates worth between $5 million and $10 million, the unrealized capital gains that have never been taxed are 32% of the estate's value. If the estate tax were repealed, those capital gains would face no tax of any kind whatsoever. The reason is that a giant loophole allows capital gains to escape taxation by exempting inherited assets from being subject to capital gains taxes. For more information, go to www.americansfortaxfairness.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at LINC, the Legal Information Network for Cancer, located behind Johnston Willis Hospital in Chesterfield County. And we are speaking with Chris Gantz. She is a client services attorney with LINC, and she will be talking with us today about the services that LINC offers. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, Marty. Thank you.
Glad to have you here. So would you tell our listeners first, what exactly is LINC, Legal Information Network for Cancer?
LINC is a local nonprofit legal services organization. Our focus is on the non-medical side of cancer. So all of those things that you can imagine cancer patients and their families are challenged with as they go through their treatment and try to recover. This is everything from medical debt issues, budgeting, anything a financial planner or a counselor could assist with, to all of the legal challenges that they might face, such as losing a job, possibly getting denied public benefits, needing life planning documents, and possibly getting denied insurance. That can be Medicaid, Medicare, or private insurance denials for needed treatments and medications.
So it sounds as if this is very broad-based, that it's not just legal advice, legal representation, but there's also a non-legal component to it?
Definitely. I think anyone that works in the access to justice field would agree that it's very difficult to serve our clients and parse out the legal issues from the socioeconomic issues. So we try to address as many of those as we can. We are not a social work organization, but if our clients have needs in areas and that we're aware of services in the community, then we try to get them access to those services, even if we're not providing that support directly through a resource in our office.
And so what resources do you have in the office? And in particular, do you have a list of volunteers who are willing to provide services to cancer patients and survivors, whether they are legal or non-legal?
We do. We have two main referral groups. We have volunteer attorneys, about 180 very generous people who are very giving of their time and talent. They are attorneys who have full-time jobs at in legal departments or at law firms in the greater Richmond community, and they provide pro bono services to individuals who qualify based on our income guidelines, and they also provide services for a reduced fee for clients who are over income. So anyone who has cancer and lives in the greater Richmond area or is actively getting treatment here can get help through our organization. We also have a team of financial planners and counselors that help on the non-legal side with things like making assets that they might have liquid so that they have money to spend on treatments and medication, or just simply helping them develop a budget.
So you mentioned eligibility rules for services from LINC. Could you go into that in a little bit more detail?
We use the HUD guidelines to make a determination if a family or an individual is income qualified for pro bono services. And as you and I know, that means free legal services. the HUD guidelines are fairly generous. So for the cancer patients in our area, we actually provide services to people who may fall in a gap. By that, I mean they make too much money to be eligible for a service through legal aid organization, but they really don't have enough money, especially given the medical challenges that they're facing and the expenses that come with that, and potentially the loss of job or the reduction of hours, to really afford to pay an attorney.
So are we talking roughly about the people who are maybe over 125% of poverty but below 200% of poverty?
I'll give you an example. A household of one making $40,000 a year would still qualify for pro bono services through LINC.
And then could you give an example of who would qualify for reduced fee services through LINC?
It really is up to our volunteers at that point. We don't have income guidelines for reduced fee services. What we do when we make the referral is we ask the attorney to meet with the client. We ask the client to be very honest about what they can afford to pay, and the attorney and the client work out the fees according to that information.
So what specific types of legal services can you give referrals to these pro bono attorneys or reduced fee attorneys?
One of the largest areas that we get requests in is in the life planning arena. So for extremely low income clients, they may not have enough property to really need a will, say if it's an estate under $50,000, but they certainly would need to get other documents in place like advanced medical directive and a power of attorney so that their choices for their health care and for managing their finances can be honored, even by an agent on their behalf if they're too sick to act for themselves or if they lose capacity to make their decisions about their health care. So an attorney drafting those documents can be extremely valuable, even to people who really have very little. We also do have a large number of clients who do need wills drafted, so we'll make referrals in that arena, particularly if it's a non-emergency and it's not a super complex need. As the client services attorney on staff here, I actually meet a lot of the needs of the very emergency clients, bedside wills, hospice patients, because we just really can't afford to take the time to make a referral outside of our organization. We also have people who have private insurance denials that need to be addressed, and these can be fairly complex at times. If we believe they need legal representation, then we'll send them out to an attorney, but very often we also can get them connected to a helpful resource at the Virginia Bureau of Insurance, and they've been able to resolve a lot of the issues as well. So it's not just attorneys in the community, it's more than that, although most of our referrals do go out to people at law firms here in the Richmond area.
Now, you just mentioned insurance denials, and I was under the impression, obviously incorrect, that most of that had been taken care of by the Affordable Care Act. What type of issues are you seeing in these insurance denials?
Yeah, we've seen a couple of really devastating cases, one involving a cancer survivor who had made the decision to have his leg amputated from the knee down. He had a sarcoma, and his chances of surviving were about 90% plus if he had the lower portion of his leg removed, and significantly lower if he kept his leg and continued to do other treatments. When he had his leg amputated, he was a very active individual working a job as a manager in an engineering role. He had to do a lot of crouching, squatting, physical movement in order to do inspections on site to do his job well. He tried to get a prosthetic approved. It got denied by insurance coverage, by his insurance company. They said he could achieve mobility by using crutches, so it wasn't medically necessary. And he needed to work with an attorney, with the Bureau of Insurance, and with his healthcare providers to convince the insurance company that the prosthetic that he was requesting was in fact medically necessary and that it was the right thing to do for this individual so that he could continue to work, bring in a paycheck, and recover.
Well, that is a terrific story, which I guess leads to another area of law that I'm sure cancer patients have to deal with, which is employment law. What type of employment law issues does LINC see?
It varies. We have a lot of people who just call in because they are not sure what their rights are. So we have the opportunity to give them information about federal laws and state laws that protect their ability to take time off from work to recover, whether it's 12 weeks straight because they're so sick that they can't get out of bed, or they need to take intermittent leave to get to treatments and they're still trying to work. People don't know what their rights are in a lot of situations, even educated people, and they're overwhelmed. They're trying to focus on their health and wellness, and they just need somebody to give them the information so that they can understand what they should be entitled to. We also have people that actually need, unfortunately, direct representation. They might have lost their job. They've been terminated unlawfully because of their cancer. Perhaps they were denied the leave that they were legally entitled to. I had a woman in my office the other day that was telling me that a sweater that she had worn from the time that she had started her job, she was a professional, her employer had recently told her she couldn't wear anymore because they could see her port. So it's really personal issues that these individuals are facing, and it's pretty scary stuff for them. So I think it's important that they have a resource in the community that can give them guidance and advocacy if it's needed.
So it does sound like a lot of the legal stuff deals with the Family and Medical Leave Act and also with just employment discrimination based upon disability. What about cases where people are able to continue to work despite their cancer, but they need a reasonable accommodation to do so? Or that's something also that LINC can assist with?
Absolutely. And we've actually written a number of letters since I started here in August of 2013 to employers asking them to adjust work hours, provide additional breaks for individuals, maybe change their role just slightly so they're not doing as physically demanding work. I mean, it's going to vary, and the facts are going to determine what is reasonable and whether or not an employer is going to be facing an undue hardship to fulfill that request. But that's certainly a service that LINC can provide.
So you mentioned also financial issues, debt issues, things of that nature. What type of services is LINC able to offer to people with those type of problems?
Marty, I think it's important to note that LINC doesn't provide any direct financial assistance to cancer patients. So we do get a lot of calls from people, unfortunately, who have just been riddled by debt. They may be uninsured or underinsured, and they're just not able to afford their bills. If they've lost work, it's not even a matter of simply medical bills being too expensive. It's everything else. It's their credit card. It's their rent. It's their utilities bills. We are actually able to get them connected with different resources in the community to assist directly with financial means. There are a number of grants available out in the community to cancer patients that can get them through maybe a month of bills. The Johns Cancer Foundation, for example, will give people whose expenses outweigh their income, they'll give them up to $500 per month paid towards their phone bill and other household expenses like rent, mortgage, utilities. There are a number of programs through the public utilities companies that cancer patients may not be aware of that they can be eligible for, fuel assistance, things like that. And then we can get them in touch with financial planners and counselors that can help them understand what bills absolutely must be paid, what are priorities, how to prioritize. And then we can give them general information about the law. Are they being harassed by collection agencies? Are there things on their credit report that shouldn't be there that might make it easier for them to find new housing if they're having to change from a place that they can't afford anymore to somewhere new? There's a number of different options. A lot of them aren't legal in nature, but our organization can help identify the issues and get them to where they need to be.
And what about bankruptcy? Does LINC able to counsel people on whether bankruptcy is or is not appropriate for them given their circumstances? And if bankruptcy may be appropriate or at least an option, what would LINC be able to do in that situation?
We do work with one of the largest bankruptcy law firms in the area, and they provide reduced fee services for our clients. They'll meet with them for free to assess whether or not bankruptcy is a good option for them, given their situation. And if it is, they'll actually cut their rates in half for our clients. They're unable to provide that service completely for free. It's one of the areas where even if they're income qualified, we can't guarantee pro bono service, but the cost is greatly reduced for people who come through our organization.
And what about paying for medical services? Now, we touched earlier on difficulties dealing with insurance companies, but just getting the ability to pay for medical care, whether it's through the Affordable Care Act insurance or some other insurance, what does Link do in those areas?
Well, first, as soon as we find out that a cancer patient is uninsured, we try to identify whether or not there might be a program available for them that could get them insured. We do partner with the local legal aid organizations, and I've sent a number of clients over there if I feel like they may be eligible for Medicaid, but for some reason, you know, there's been an error in the application process, or maybe they didn't even know that they could apply, and we send them over to get on those public benefits. We also work with clients to get them on coverage through the Affordable Care Act. Unfortunately, we do also see quite a few clients who fall into the Medicaid gap. Those have been some of the hardest ones for me because I feel like they're just not able to get the help that they need. These are people who are the working poor, individuals who may have had employer-provided coverage in the past but had to reduce their hours because they were sick, and they're still working. They're not going on disability through the government, but unfortunately, they make too little to be eligible for tax credits through the Affordable Care Act, and they also don't meet one of the categories for Medicaid. So it's a sad situation. In that case, we do everything we can to get them information about the programs that the individual healthcare providers have. For example, Virginia Commonwealth University Health Systems has the VCC charity program, and we're very aware of that at Link. We work with the social workers to make sure they can get on that program if they're income eligible, and that provides, you know, 50% coverage, 100% coverage, depending on the circumstances. Other hospitals have similar programs, like the Care Card at Bon Secours. And then the billing departments will often work with the clients just to put them on payment plans if they can't afford to pay a $500 bill all at once.
So really, it sounds as if any cancer patient or cancer survivor who has any type of a legal problem in his lower or even moderate income really should contact Link. What is the process for getting services from Link? Is this strictly on referrals from medical providers, or can people self-refer? Lead us through that process.
Potential clients can get to us in any way. They can call 804-562-0371 and dial extension 1 to get our intake department. We have fantastic intake assistants here who are very compassionate and knowledgeable. They can actually get a lot of the referrals started just from that initial phone call to community resources that might be helpful. And then a determination is made once the client calls whether or not it's something I can assist with as an internal attorney resource. If it's not, then it gets referred out to a community resource such as a volunteer attorney or a volunteer financial planner. We do get a large number of referrals directly from healthcare providers, and that's a good thing to us because we really hope to become part of a team of professionals wrapping around the cancer patient to provide really holistic approaches to health and wellness. And our role as attorneys and on the non-medical side is to really remove the socioeconomic, legal, and financial barriers that are keeping cancer patients from really getting well.
And I would imagine that the things that Link does not get involved in is equally important as the things that Link does get involved in. So could you tell us the type of legal problems that really Link can't offer assistance with?
Sure. There are a couple of areas. We do not provide assistance with immigration, divorce or contested family law matters, medical malpractice, as you can imagine, we really are working with the healthcare providers to make sure that the cancer patient has what they need to get well. So that's not an area that we get into. And we also don't do anything in the criminal law area.
Well, thank you so much. We have been speaking with Chris Gantz. She is the client services attorney at LINC, the Legal Information Network for Cancer, located just behind Johnston Willis Hospital in Chesterfield County. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Marty. It was a pleasure.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. You've seen the ad. Stop foreclosures, garnishments, lawsuits, repossessions, and collector calls. But will bankruptcy do all that? Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when bankruptcy attorney Andrew Chen explains what bankruptcy can and cannot do in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on April 30th, 2014. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbert.